Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. In this video, I want to talk to you about Germany. Germany is the largest economy in Europe and the fourth largest economy in the world. And it is the country that's been most affected by the energy crisis caused by Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Prior to the war starting, Germany was buying almost a third of all of its natural gas requirements directly from Russia. And all of those imports have now stopped. And that's led to an enormous increase in costs for Germany and is now putting a lot of pressure on its economy. So in today's video, we'll have a look at the economy of Germany. We'll look at who its trading partners are, because I think that's really important in terms of the global context. I'm not just talking about Germany in isolation today. I want to see what the knock-on impact of a shrinkage of the German economy is going to be for the global economy. So we'll have a look at all of the key trading partners from Germany. We'll then have a look at a breakdown of where Germany sources its energy from and what the implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine has been on those purchases and how Germany is going to get itself out of this situation, because the problem that Germany is facing is that it's having to replace gas that was coming through pipelines with LNG without having any LNG infrastructure in place. So there's a really big challenge for the German authorities. We'll also have a look at what's going on with regards to inflation and interest rates and industry within Germany. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary. So what I think is likely to happen in Germany over the course of the next 3 to 6 months, and what the impact of this will be on the European economy and the global economy. So before we get started on all of that, very quickly, I'm going to ask you for a thumbs up, to subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget, I always include chapters. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below where you'll find links to YouTube Super Thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me A Coffee, Patreon and Amazon shopping links. Germany has a long-standing reputation for high-quality engineering, and probably its most famous brands are its motor cars. BMW, Audi, Mercedes-Benz and Porsche are four of the biggest brands in the world. Germany has a population of around 84 million people, which ranks it as the third largest in Europe behind Russia and Turkey. But from an economic perspective, it's the biggest country in Europe. In 2021, German GDP was $4.2 trillion, which ranked it as the fourth largest country globally behind Japan, China, and the United States. As a result of its significant engineering and manufacturing base, Germany is a net exporter and exports products all around the globe. This chart shows the breakdown of German exports for 2021. Machinery was the largest category, making up around 16% of exports, closely followed by vehicles at 15%, electronic equipment at 11%, pharmaceutical products at 7%, and medical supplies and plastics, which both came in around 5%. In terms of which countries are buying those exports, Germany's largest trading partner was the United States, which bought around $145 billion worth of German goods, followed by China, which purchased around $124 billion, France, $121 billion, the Netherlands, $109 billion, and Poland, $92 billion. In terms of imports, the biggest single category was electrical equipment at 13%, followed by machinery at 12%, vehicles at 10%, energy products at 9%, and pharmaceutical products at 6%. Germany's biggest trade partner that it's importing from is China, with trade volume of $171 billion in 2021, followed by the Netherlands at $107 billion, the United States at $87 billion, Poland at $82 billion, and Italy at $77 billion. Now, one of the reasons that Germany is currently facing a crisis is that it's a net importer of energy products. And the biggest energy product that it was importing prior to Russia's invasion of Ukraine was Russian gas. And Germany had built a lot of its infrastructure to be dependent on those natural gas supplies. So the Nord Stream pipelines were built by Russia under the Baltic Sea to supply natural gas directly into Germany. And as a result of those supplies, Germany built a lot of power stations to replace the old-fashioned coal-fired power stations that were producing a lot more emissions. The reason that a lot of Europe switched to natural gas is that it was a cleaner form of energy. It produces around 50% less CO2 than burning coal. And this pie chart shows the source of all of the gas that was used by Germany in December 2021. And you can see that by far the largest segment here is Russian pipeline gas, which accounted for 32%. But in addition to that pipeline gas, domestic storage accounted for 22%. Now, this section relates to the large underground storage capacity that Germany has all across the country. And whilst in December, 22% of all the gas used came from storage, when you look at where that gas actually originated from, the vast majority came from the Russian pipelines. So in terms of the origin of the gas, you can combine these two sections, which shows that Germany was sourcing more than 50% of all of the gas that it was using directly from Russia. However, the situation is actually worse than that, because if you look all the way around at the top of this chart, you can see that 11% of the gas being used in Germany was pipeline gas exports from the Czech Republic. Now, the Czech Republic doesn't have its own gas supplies and is actually importing gas directly from Russia. So the pipeline supplies coming from the Czech Republic is also Russian gas. So when you add these three sections of the chart together, you get almost two-thirds of the gas being used by Germany in December 2021 was coming from Russia. Just to finish off on this chart, you can see that Germany does have other pipelines. There's a pipeline from Norway, which equated to around 20% of all gas used, and also a pipeline from the Netherlands, which accounted for 12%. But overall, the majority of the gas that Germany was using is coming either directly or indirectly from Russia. Now, one of the things I want to do here is put the relative importance of natural gas into perspective. And in order to do that, we need to understand what percentage of total energy consumption comes via gas. This chart shows the source of all energy consumed in Germany in the first half of 2022. And the portion relating to natural gas is the grey section on the left-hand side. And as you can see, natural gas equated to 27.2% of all of the energy used, which equated to 1,616 petajoules. Now that compares to 32% of all energy coming from oil, 18.9% coming from coal and lignite, 18.3% from renewables, 3.1% from nuclear, and 0.7% from other. So in terms of putting this into context, more than a quarter of all of the energy consumed in Germany in the first half of 2022 came from natural gas. So this is absolutely critical to the success of the German economy. Now, in its position as the largest economy in Europe and one of the leaders of the European Union, Germany has been in the forefront of applying sanctions against Russia. And obviously, Germany has been in a very delicate situation because it wants to cut off all of those purchases. But because over 25% of all of the energy being consumed in Germany is coming from natural gas, and historically around two-thirds of that gas was coming from Russia, it's been very difficult for Germany to be able to walk away from those deals. Because, as you'll know if you follow the channel, to replace natural gas that's coming through a pipeline in the form of gas, the only real option that countries have is to go towards liquefied natural gas. And in order to do that, you need to set up all of the infrastructure. You need what's called regasification facilities to turn the liquid back into a gas, which you can then feed into your networks and supply to all of your consumers. And Germany, at the start of this conflict, didn't have any LNG facilities in place. So it's had to run around trying to line up some mobile floating facilities and start to build things. But obviously, that takes time. So that's been a real challenge from Germany's point of view. And obviously, the other issue is the cost. Now, this chart plots the daily imports of natural gas by country in 2022 for Germany. And the main countries shown on this chart that have been supplying Germany with gas are Russia in red at the bottom, Norway in blue, the Czech Republic in green, the Netherlands in orange, and Belgium in yellow. So you can see from the red section that up until the end of June, the supplies from Russia remained relatively constant. However, they reduced by more than 50% in July, and this was the time when Russia announced that it was having problems with the Nord Stream pipeline relating to the sanctions. It then shut down the Nord Stream pipeline for the annual maintenance check. However, Russia then claimed that there was an oil leak and other associated problems. And after a period of significantly reduced supply, the Nord Stream pipeline explosions took place, which blew two massive holes in both of the pipelines. And from that point onwards, no gas has moved between Russia and Germany. The section in blue relates to the pipeline that exists between Norway and Germany. And you can see that that's remained relatively constant and has started to increase slightly over the last few months. The green section relates to the historic imports of gas via the Czech Republic pipeline, but that gas was actually Russian gas. And you can see that those imports also reduced significantly after June and stopped around the same time as the Nord Stream pipeline's imports stopped. The amount of gas imported from the Netherlands has increased over the last 3 months. And over the course of the last 12 months, there's been an increase in the amount of gas from Belgium. But the overall picture here, if you take a step back, is that the amount of gas that Germany is importing now is significantly less than it was at the start of the year. You can see that the total volume in January was somewhere in the region of 4,500 gigawatt hours per day. However, the total amount now is less than 3,000 gigawatt hours per day. So that represents a fall of around 1,500 gigawatt hours per day, which is obviously significant and is going to cause Germany some major problems if it doesn't get all of the LNG supplies in place to be able to replace this lost capacity. At the moment, Germany has managed to fill all of its storage, so it's sitting with some supplies that it can draw upon. But at some point over the next 6 months, those supplies will run out if it doesn't find ways to replenish them. In terms of the direct cash cost of this energy crisis for Germany, it's estimated to now be approaching $500 billion. That's $500 billion. The total import bill for natural gas for Germany has increased by 124 billion euros in 2022. In addition to that, the German authorities have had to bail out the company Uniper, which was the company that had the sole contract for importing gas into Germany. It went into financial difficulty because of what was happening in the gas price market, and therefore the authorities had to step in with a 50 billion bailout. They were also required to step in and bail out Gazprom Germania, which was the German subsidiary of the Russian Gazprom business, and it owned all of the gas storage facilities in Germany. So the German authorities had to step in with a $14 billion bailout of that company. They also had to provide a package of over $100 billion to bail out all of the utility companies that were supplying services directly to consumers in Germany, because none of those companies had hedged their positions. And as the spot market took off following Russia's invasion of Ukraine, none of those companies could make any profit. They all became illiquid, and the authorities had to provide bailout facilities. And in addition to that, the Germans have also paid over $10 billion so far to set up LNG infrastructure facilities. But obviously, that's just a drop in the ocean. They will have to invest significantly more than that to get the capacity of that LNG up to replace all of the pipeline gas that's been lost from Russia. This chart shows the movement in inflation in Germany over the last 12 months. And you can see that it's almost doubled from this time last year. In December 2021, inflation was running at 5.3% and actually fell in January 2022 to under 5%. However, following Russia's invasion of Ukraine at the end of February, inflation increased to 7.3% in March and is now sitting at 10%, which is five times higher than the target rate of 2%. However, in order to put the seriousness of this situation into perspective, let's have a look at what inflation has done over the last 25 years in Germany. Now, this chart dates back to 1997, and you can see that over the last 25 years, there has only been one period at the time of the global financial crisis in 2008, when inflation rose materially above 2% in Germany. So historically, Germany has been in complete control of its economy and its inflation. It has stayed at or around that 2% target rate at all times over the last 25 years. But if we look at what's happened over the course of 2022, inflation for the first time in a generation in Germany has now got out of control and is into double digits. So this really puts into perspective how serious the situation is right now in Germany. The German authorities are simply not used to being in a high inflation environment. This is very, very unusual. Now, this chart shows the movements in interest rates over the last 25 years. And you can see that interest rates currently are at 2.5%, which seems low compared to the current rate of inflation of 10%. But as you'll be aware if you follow the channel, Germany is part of the European Union, and a lot of countries in the European Union have a collective interest rate setting policy. So they all agree on a rate that works for everybody. And of course, that means that you're not in control of your own destiny. You're having to do things collectively and do things for the best of the European Union rather than your individual country. And Germany right now really could do with having higher interest rates. That would address their double-digit inflation. but they've got to do what's best for everybody else. So that must be slightly frustrating. But if we look back over the last 25 years, you can see that the highest rate of interest over that period was in the early part of 2000s, when rates got up to around 4.75%. So I think the way things are shaping at the moment, there is a strong possibility that Germany could see rates hitting higher than that level at some point over the course of the next 6 months. Now, in terms of the impact on industry, the increase in all of the energy costs is feeding through directly into a lot of businesses because Germany is dependent on its manufacturing sector, and that manufacturing uses a lot of energy, either electricity or natural gas directly for a lot of industrial purposes. This chart shows the breakdown of energy consumption of electricity by consumer groups in Germany. The blue section at the bottom represents usage by industry. The green section in the middle is households, and the yellow section at the top are trade and services. So you can see that around 50% of all electricity is being used by industry, and another 30% or so is being used by trade and services. So all of the cost increases that Germany has seen over the course of the last 12 months are feeding directly into all of their businesses. And this is going to be a major problem for Germany because it's a net exporter. So all of these companies will need to pass cost increases that they're incurring within Germany onto their prices, which is going to impact on their competitiveness in the global markets. And this chart shows the latest Purchasing Managers Index for a variety of countries around the world. And if you follow the channel, you'll know that we've talked about the Purchasing Managers Index a number of times. This is an index that's been calculated for over 50 years and is based upon a variety of data that's provided by companies from all different countries across the globe. And the key score here is 50. If a country is reporting a score higher than 50, it means that its industry is expanding, everything is growing. If the score comes in below 50, then that means that industry is contracting. And the color code on this chart is blue for expansion. So if you've got a score above 50, it's coming in blue, and red for contraction. And what you can see is over the course of the last 12 months is a complete change from blue to red. At the start of 2022, most countries on this chart were recording scores in blue. So that was Germany, USA, the Eurozone as a whole, UK, France, and Italy, with the only countries coming in red being Australia and Japan. However, by March, every single country was in the blue, which indicates a global expansion. And that situation remained in April, May, and June. However, as soon as we got to July, we started to see a global slowdown. So a number of countries started recording their data as red, which means that they were expecting to contract. And that situation has got worse over the last few months. And in November, every single country on this chart is now shown in red. But if we dig down into those November figures, you can see that Germany is the single worst performing country on this list with a score of 46.3. Now, interestingly, it is closely followed by the USA with a score of 46.4, the Eurozone at 47.8, Australia at 48, the world as a whole is also recorded as being at 48, the UK is at 48.2, France 48.7, and Japan and Italy at 48.9. So what this shows is that we've got universal bad news all around the world at the moment, but the single worst performer out of all of the countries on this list is Germany. Now this chart shows the quarterly movements in GDP in Germany dating back to the start of 2020. And you can see from this that Germany is not officially in recession right now. Recession is usually called when you have two consecutive quarters of negative GDP. If we look at the last four recorded quarters of GDP, you can see that for Q4 2021, Germany achieved growth of 1.2%. That actually increased to 3.6% for Q1 2022. However, the impact of Russia's invasion of Ukraine started to feed in. So in the second quarter of 2022, GDP growth fell to 1.6% and fell further to 1.3% at the end of Q3. Now, obviously, we're currently in Q4 of 2022, so we don't have the data. However, the German authorities have stated that it is extremely likely that they are going into recession. Obviously, the official declaration of a recession won't be called until the end of the second half of 2023, because you need two consecutive quarters before you can officially declare it. However, realistically, it's likely that Germany is already in recession. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because I haven't done a feature on Germany previously, and I like to work my way around the globe and talk to you about specific countries from time to time. And I think what's happening in Germany right now is really quite interesting because this is the biggest economy in Europe, so it's the most important, and it's the fourth biggest economy in the world. And as you saw from the data we looked at earlier, it's got trading relations with the USA, China, and a lot of other countries. So it's very interconnected. So what I talk about all the time here, when a country is in difficulty, that will have a knock-on impact to other countries. If you're selling goods to Germany and Germany's contracting, obviously that's going to cause you a problem. And equally, if you're buying things from Germany and the costs are rising in Germany, that's going to put prices up. So that means that either you pay that higher price and therefore pass inflation on into your economy, or you have to make the decision to source something from elsewhere in replacement. But obviously certain things, such as BMW cars, Adidas equipment, isn't available anywhere else. If you want to buy German goods, you have to buy them from Germany. And if prices are rising in Germany as a result of increased costs, then that's going to be passed on to the rest of the world. So hopefully that gives you a flavour as to how these things become contagious, how it doesn't get contained just to within Germany. And I think what we've seen today is because of the historic relationship between Russia and Germany and the fact that Germany had built all of this infrastructure that was entirely dependent on Russian gas, it's caused major problems both from a supply perspective, but more importantly, from a cost perspective for Germany. So it's facing two major challenges over the course of the next 12 months. Firstly, it needs to put replacement systems in place to provide gas to all of those consumers that need it, because it's not buying any Russian gas anymore. The Nord Stream pipelines have been blown up. So even if Germany wanted to revisit the relationship with Russia and start to buy large volumes of gas, it would be very difficult to do so because the infrastructure has gone. But realistically, it's very unlikely that Germany would make that U-turn, particularly because the war in Ukraine is still going on. So what Germany needs to do now is get replacement capacity in place. Now, Germany wants to increase its use of renewables, but that will take a long period of time. It's more likely to take years. So over the course of the next 12 months, the most realistic option is to get LNG capacity in place to feed into that gas network. And that is going to cost a lot of money. It's already costing tens of billions. It could run into hundreds of billions over the course of the next 12 months. So that's going to be a big problem from an economic perspective. But the other problem that Germany's facing is potential shortage, because it's got its capacity full right now, but it's drawing down on those reserves. And if it can't find alternative suppliers to refill those reserves, this time next year, Germany could be in a real crisis, because if it doesn't have full capacity going into the winter of 2023, then it could be facing the real prospect of blackouts. Now, as I've reported before, Germany is currently looking into elongating the life of some of its coal-fired power stations to supplement the shortages if they do come around. So there are plans in place, but all of this is going to cost money. And what we're seeing right now is an increase in costs in Germany. That's feeding through into industry. That's increasing their costs, meaning they're becoming less competitive in the international markets. So all of this is really bad news for Germany and its economy. So it's likely that Germany will go into recession over the course of the next 6 months. It will slow down. It's going to contract. So that's going to be bad news for the European economy, because Germany's the biggest economy and therefore everybody else will feel that pain. But it won't be contained to Europe. As we saw earlier, Germany does a lot of trade, both inward and outward, with America and China and all the other countries of the world. So there will be a knock-on impact, and this will definitely speed up the global recession. When one of the biggest economies in the world is moving towards recession, it will take a lot of other economies with it. So unfortunately, once again, this is confirmation that it's very likely that we are going into a global recession during 2023. So hopefully you found today's episode useful and interesting and thought-provoking. If you've liked what I've said, please give me a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already.